First of all, I ask you to be patient with my croaky throat. I haven't got a cold. But after 41 years, I've somewhat worn out my voice. I just chalk it up as Philippians 1:29. You are called to suffer for His sake, the gospel's sake. The canal opened on Friday. As you know, it down there, it's coming off Lake Ontario and Lake Erie. It's windy and cold and wet. It takes a toll on the voice if you're outdoors. And then working at a chapel, Lilolai, a chapel camp, they ran out of wood. So I worked about maybe 7 hours. And again, it's cold, but you're breathing chainsaw fumes. And not just cold air, but my chainsaw was somewhat dull. So you're breathing not chips, but hardwood sawdust. And that's hard on the voice, too. So, but that's my favorite hobby, so I wouldn't pass that up. As always, the gospel tools back there are free. My apology, I meant to bring my favorite track, Your Ticket to Heaven. That's the one that we've seen the most people get saved with, God's Word in that track. Now, they're the same ones I brought more than a year ago. But why change when they're produced by Gospel Folio Press and they give them to me at a real good price? And the main thing is those gospel tools get people lost in their sins first, so they know they got to be saved from the penalty of their personal sins. And so that's why God has used those gospel tools to save people. So why change? Because some gospel tracts out there are not like that. They don't get people lost in their sins. What they say is true, but it's kind of wishy-washy as far as making Christ your personal Savior. So help yourself after. I also want to comment on this opening song there, Haven of Rest. It says, the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep. And of course the answer is, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. My topic this morning is fear, and sailors are tossed around with a lot of fear out there on the high seas. And now they're looking for the haven of rest, like the song says, but the sad thing is, the Bible says the way is narrow and very few find the way. They're looking for something, and most of them don't know it's Jesus. And of course it says in Romans 10:14, how can they believe unless they hear? And I can't do it all. There's ships all around the world. And sad to say, a lot of Siemens missions are run by churchy-andy, religiandy people that don't preach the gospel. And so the harvest is ripe, and they're looking for something, but most of them, well, lost people are not looking for Jesus unless they hear about him. So they got to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the song is true, but just pray that more might find their haven of rest in Jesus Christ. But every year I get older, and I see more of the sailors and ships, and that verse, of course, like I just said, the way is narrow, and very few find the way. The more people you know, the sadder that verse becomes. It's just very sad, for sure, when you think about hell in eternity. Okay, my subject this morning, again, is, as I said earlier, is fear. I've mentioned this before. It doesn't hurt to repeat it. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We can be so thankful that verse was true, was written, and is still true, that Jesus is seeking to save lost people who are lost in their sins, that they might find their haven and rest in Him, Jesus, as their personal Savior. Therefore, since He is seeking to save the lost, and He knows all about hell more than you and I do, and He knows how long eternity is, that we can't get that figured out. It's a long time, no end to it. And how awful it is that you never want to underestimate what Jesus might do. And tonight, you'll hear an incredible story of what He did. What He might allow and who he might use and how he might use them in such a, even a small way to be a part of this great program of giving at least everybody one chance to hear the gospel and make the greatest decision ever in their life of agreeing with God. They're a sinner, a lost sinner. They can't forgive themselves. They can't save themselves. They need to step out in faith and thank him for providing this salvation from the penalty of sin, and step out in faith and claim him as their personal Savior. So never underestimate that. And Jesus says to lay a foundation for this in Luke 21:26 about, you know, what God is allowing and doing. It says there, the sea and the waves are roaring, and man's heart shall fail because of fear. The fear of sailors. Increase in tsunamis, but a lot of people deny it. They don't hear it on the, see it on the TV. Christ says, before I come back, there's going to be an increase in earthquakes. A lot of people are denying that because they don't see it on TV. Well, here's what's not on TV that sailors know all too well. For example, in the Pacific Ocean, that's a big place. Every month, and if you say this on the internet, probably more often than that, the Earth's crust cracks under the Pacific Ocean. I mean, the ocean is miles deep out there. The Earth, crust will crack in the Pacific Ocean, and when it cracks, part of it falls down, and then the water falls into the vacuum. And let's say the water is a mile deep out there in a certain place. I mean, off the Philippines, it's way deeper than that. And the water keeps falling in, taking the place of where the Earth settled. And time it gets to the top, it produces a mini tsunami. Now, maybe it's only 5 miles long, and maybe the waves are only maybe, let's say, 12 feet high. So it's summertime. You're on a ship, and it's smooth weather. It's summertime. It's warm. And you're laying in bed, getting ready to go to sleep on your ship. It's pitch black dark, and all of a sudden, quietly, this mini tsunami that's not cresting, so it's on the top, so it's not making any noise, coming along, and all of a sudden, kaboom, hits your ship, washes people overboard, and people go flying under their beds, you know, food goes a-flying. They didn't know what was coming. And they hear the metal groaning on the ship as the ship twists, and at the first stage of before the metal cracks and puts fear into sailors. And so they survive. Then they get wondering, when will it happen again? Now, you know why it's not in the news? Because when these little mini tsunamis happen out in the Pacific Ocean because of earthquakes on the bottom of the ocean, they don't hit San Francisco or Japan. That's why they're not in the paper. People don't hear about these small ones. But they're putting fear into sailors like you wouldn't believe. And so these verses are being fulfilled more and more all the time, putting fear into sailors. And the famous verses everybody knows about sailors and fear is Psalm 107. They that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, these, the sailors, see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises a stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, and that means, you know, when the wave is high and the bow's going up, you're looking up into the heaven. They go down to the depths. That's talking about the trough. If the wave is 15 feet high, the trough is 15 feet deep. That's 30 feet. And if you're carrying 28,000 tons of iron ore pellets, then your bow goes further underwater with the weight going head first down in the trough. And so that puts you even down deeper underwater. The result, their soul is melted because of trouble. That's fear. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, which means, you know, you have no control of your life. You're at the mercy of these waves. And the Bible says they're at their wit's end. They have no answer. They want their haven of rest, like my wife predicts out there in that little chart she's made there. It starts out at a haven of rest, then they're in a storm in Lake Superior, and then they're looking for their haven of rest. And they're crying out for help, and a lot of them don't know where to turn. And so I just see a percentage of people that come through the Welland Canal that go through these many tsunamis or storms out there on the oceans and the Great Lakes. Okay, every year in November, sailors sit around the rec room going through the Welland Canal, and they've just, like this year we had four big windstorms. I'm not sure what you had around here in Listowel. November, there was four big November gales in Lake Superior. What happens there, because most weather goes from west to east, hits St. Catharines 2 days later. And so they're all talking about it in the rec rooms on the ships passing through the Welland Canal when the ships kind of like quiet and settle down, talking about what fears they've gone through. And so we had four of them. Usually we have like two, three. This year there's four. Four big storms up in Lake Superior, putting fear into sailors. And so they're sitting there talking about what fear they went through, and then the subject just always comes up to the Edmund Fitzgerald. Here that ship sunk in the early 70s, and every year sailors sit and discuss that story. So God allowed it, and he's using it. Let me tell you how he's using it. When someone goes through some kind of fear, they want to relate something they know about fear to add to the conversation. When you're on a ship, you're working 4 hours off, 8 hours on, 4 hours on, 8 hours off. You have a lot of free time. And they got to talk about something, and so they bring up this story. And so Edmund Fitzgerald, by the way, this is a Nova Scotia lobster boat that I fished in when I was a kid. In real life, that's 30 feet long, and from here to here is about 4 feet high, so it's not a very big boat compared to what I get aboard in the Welland Canal. So they're talking about the Edmund Fitzgerald. And she was something like 800 and some feet long. They're in a storm in Lake Superior in November. And here's what they know that a lot of people on the land do not know, why there was incredible fear on that ship. They had the ship anchored. Now, the song talks about being anchored, but being anchored in Jesus, anchored on with an anchor even on small rocks, will not hold a big ship that's 800 feet long, carrying 28,000 tons of iron ore pellets in a big windstorm and waves on Lake Superior. And the captain knew that about a quarter mile to his, I guess it would have been to the east, there was a shoal 26 feet underwater. Now, he knew that, but he had his ship, so-called anchored securely from the bow and the stern. But what he didn't know, those days there were no sensors, and he didn't know the ship was dragging its anchor. It's nighttime. You have nothing to, there's no lights out there, the lighthouses where they were at. So he's figuring, my ship is 26 feet underwater. That shoal is 46 feet underwater. What he miscalculated was, you go up on a wave, and down the trough, and so he has 20 feet to spare. So let's say the waves are 10 feet high. So if it were 20 feet from 26 feet in drawing water to 46. But again, the bow goes down into the trough with all the weight of the cargo down deeper. And so up and down, up and down. So when he comes over to this shoal, 46 feet underwater, and of course she went down and deeper than what he thought, and then hit the shoal right in the middle, and as I say, broke her back. Now, it wouldn't crack the keel, but those ships are flat on the bottom. I call them motorized shoeboxes. And so it would have cracked the hull on both sides of the keel, and they wouldn't know it. And the reason they wouldn't know it back then is the wind's blowing, it's raining hard, waves are hitting your ship, plus when you go up and you hit a wave, bang, it would be the same noise of hitting a shoal underwater. Plus, you're not going to hear a hit underwater on the ship with all this noise in a storm. So they would just think, the noise was we hit a wave, and the shudder was just, she's just reacting to the waves and the weight of the ship. And so they cracked the hull. So now the next wave, they go up and they go down, and now you got a lot of, the picture shows there, the captain buries the bow, and then the buoys have got to try to bring her back up out of the wave underwater, and puts a lot of stress in the middle of the ship, so the ship would crack a little bit more. Every wave, it would crack a little bit more. And all of a sudden, there was a big enough crack in the bottom of the ship. Enough water came in to mix with the iron ore pellets Now she lost her buoyancy. And once that happened, the next wave you go up and go back down, you become a submarine and you don't know it. That's why there was no May Day. That's why no one had survival suits on. That's why there was no life rafts that were launched. They didn't know they were becoming a submarine as she broke in two. And she went down like almost like two mini submarines. And now here's the fear the sailors tell me these guys went through that was never in the paper. The wheelhouse is fairly watertight. Now, when you go down to a wave, you'd have a lot of wave water hit the your windshield, the side doors. But when the bow came back up, the water would just kind of go away. Now, remember, you're out in pitch black dark. There's no street lights out there. And so you can't see anything, but you see the water go away from the window. And all of a sudden now, the water stays there. You know you've become a submarine. Now, up in the wheelhouse, their doors are fairly watertight. There's rubber all around these steel doors, and the windows are watertight. So when they became a submarine, for example, up on the bridge, the captain, the first mate, and the wheelsman are in this in the up on the bridge there, in an almost watertight compartment, and you're going down as a submarine. You're not getting drowned. You're going to suffocate. So they lived a while underwater. Ship broken too. And these guys says, boy, talk about fear. You're in the bottom of Lake Superior now, and you're running out of air, and you got a lot of time to think. Incredible fear they went through. And these guys talk about this in the rec room, and they said, well, I guess that wasn't much fear we went through with the storm now on Lake Superior in last November. But God is still using that to put fear into sailors now, even though they escaped the November gales there up in Lake Superior. And to open the doors to preach the gospel. And every year, people get saved. So there's just one reason why God allowed those 29 guys to drown in 1974, I think it was, or 75. And God is still using it to save sailors now because of that story, because of the incredible fear that they went through. Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, the shepherds, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Imagine, good news to all people. What was the good news? Well, one part of the good news was that this Jesus was going to eliminate the fear of death. So the news was, a Savior is born today, which is Christ the Lord. Here's some things that some people don't think about. Jesus was born to live. Now think about it. All the other male 2-year-old babies died. Jesus didn't. Born to live. Jesus was born to die. He died on the cross. Jesus was born to raise again the third day. And so it says here, it's going to be like tremendous news, great joy, good tidings to all people. And the good news was, rising from the dead, he would conquer sin, death, the grave, Satan, and hell. When I talk to religious people around the world, it's very consistent. They all have at least 1, 2, 3, maybe all 5 of those fears. And I says, because Jesus rose from the dead, he conquered all 5. And if you trust in Jesus as your personal Savior and become a true born-again believer and start letting him take his word and engraft his word into your mind and your heart, so you can say, God said it, that settles it, I believe it. Little by little, he takes away all 5 fears. You're a benefactor of Jesus' 5 victories on the cross, after the cross, when he rose from the dead. And so you're set free from these fears. And that makes the gospel tremendous news. That they're under this fear of all, you know, just not fear of death with these storms, but these other fears too they have. And so it's great news. So what does the Lord use? He in some ways uses these fears that people have. They're looking for their haven of rest, you know, beat around out on the oceans there. And they have no answer to the fear of death, the sting of death, or these other fears that they have now, you know. Their concept of Satan. It may be different when you and I think, but they have a concept of Satan. Their concept of hell, these religious people, it may be different than what you and I think, but they have a concept. They have a fear. And, of course, you know, the fear of their personal sins. I mean, I have a number of guys tell me every year, do you think God could forgive, you know, this certain kind of sin? They think it's so awful that God maybe can't forgive it. And so they have fear. And to be set free, they're looking for this and some answer. Since I've been here last, what is a fearful story that was in the newspaper on your TV? Hurricane Sandy. Last fall, it struck New York Island, called the Sion, after a hurricane. Big waves came ashore, lifted houses off their foundation. They said there was pictures of houses floating down streets. There were some proud people thinking, oh, I got my house up on a hill, on a rock, you know, I'm safe from this and so on. Boy, were they ever wrong. You see the picture where this house came down the road floating and hit a light pole and two light poles crossed and the wires crossed, set a fire in the midst of a hurricane fallout, blowing wind, all kinds of rain. But boy, you get wires crossing and sparking. It doesn't go out no matter how hard it rains. And fell in someone's house. Those old wooden houses on Long Island, New York, are close together. There's thousands of them, you know, within a few blocks. And see that one picture? A whole block house just burnt right to the ground, just total. And that put all kinds of fear into people. And then the paper and TV showed the story of how the storm turned, came out to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. That was rare. And then the storm came up to Sarnia. That was rare. Here's what the paper didn't say, the TV didn't say. The storm that night it hit Sarnia went out into Lake Huron and again hit a Canadian ship and put tremendous fear into sailors. They were trying to go to bed, this one shift of sailors, and then one guy's telling the story of how he's laying in his bed, in his where he has his pillow on his bed, right up against the the stern of the ship's side of the wall of the ship. Now, ships have double hulls with X-frame in the middle to make it somewhat strong, but it can have some give to it too. And when the bow will go under and the buoyancy is trying to bring the bow back up, it puts tremendous pressure, like I said, on the middle of the ship. And he's laying there on his pillow, and he can hear the metal groaning through the walls of the ship while you're trying to sleep. And the metal groaning, that's the first step before it breaks and you know, cracks. And then once it cracks, you're in big trouble, and especially if you're loaded. I mean, if you try to imagine a ship carrying 28,000 tons of Arnor pellets and you get a crack and water's coming in, boy. And these guys know this is not good. And so puts fear into them. Now they escape it, and the ship doesn't break up. Now they're in the Welland Canal 2 days later. This is after a November gale, and they're all sitting around talking in the rec room. And I come, you know, aboard the ship and hear these stories, and so they get talking about what they went through. And again, sailors like me like to tell stories because these people are storytellers because they have a lot of free time. You got 8 hours off after working 4 hours, and you can't go home. So they sit around talking. So like my wife said, it's amazing how God, you know, sees the big picture. And it says, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that verse is still true. So he just allows things to happen. We don't know. We'll know when we get to heaven. And God sees the big picture and just uses world events, doesn't waste anything, and uses it for his purposes to get people's attention. And especially some sailors who are just really blind and hard-hearted. And you got to put them through some fear off Sarnia there and Lake Huron to get their attention. So now they're sitting there talking. Now they're so-called in their haven of rest, or in the Welland Canal of Locks, sitting in their ship in the rec room having their cup of coffee. And they've just gone through fear. So a little more broken, teachable, better listening ear, and easier to talk to. But still they're kind of wound up about this fear. And did you see what happened? It was in the on the TV. Another fearful story took place over in China, in Hong Kong, near Victoria Harbor. And so now the guys are talking about this story. And what happened there, if you remember the story in the paper, I'm not sure it wasn't up around here, But a ferry boat T-boned some millionaire's big pleasure craft. Now, it wasn't one you'd find some, you know, port around here. They said there was 38 people partying below water level. So that was no little, like, 30-foot pleasure craft. It was a big one. To have a party house where 30 people below were partying, this little pleasure craft was heading over to Victoria Harbor and near Hong Kong there to watch some fireworks, some Chinese, you know, big celebration when they get T-boned after dark by a ferry boat. And so when it T-boned it, the yacht rolled down on its side, and it pushed in the side a little bit. But the main damage it did, the one door was on this side that went down to the party room, and it popped off the door, but the metal frame of the door got crushed into within about 6 inches. Now, they said there was 1-inch waves coming down the stairs, so you can think, well, are people scared of 1-inch waves? Well, you are if your ship's been rolled out on the side a little bit of water's coming in. They got the pumps going, but the water's coming in, and waves are little 1-inch waves are coming down the stairway, but that's the only way out of that room. And the door frame's been crushed into within about 6 inches. So a kid might have got out of there, but there's no kids. They were adults having a party, heading for the fireworks display. So they're all trapped down there. And so these sailors that are used to ships in the Welland Canal, they start discussing this and say, wow, you know, I wonder how long. The paper doesn't say this kind of thing, see? But these guys think this because they live it. I wonder how long it took for 1-inch waves going down the stairs to sink that boat. And how long were they stuck down there trying to get enough air? And they knew they couldn't escape. They said, talk about incredible fear. You know you're going to drown. You can't escape. You're screaming for help. But no one can help you out because you're way out in the harbor there. Now, all the people on the deck who were partying, they all got taken off. You know, they didn't get drowned. But you know what I was thinking if I'd have been on there? What a chance to go over to the doorway. You have 6 inches of space and preach the gospel down the stairway to these 38 people getting ready to die. Would have been a real, you would have a good listening ear if you said, do you folks want to hear an answer about the fear of death? I think somebody would have said yes. They all would have had to listen. But no one's in the TV news, no one said anyone did that, which is a shame, but maybe no one was born again. And, excuse me. So these guys are talking about the fear of death. And I thought, you know, I can't imagine what that was like. And so when they got done talking about this story, you know, adding to the TV news, now these guys can add the illustration because they've been there to some degree. I said, have you ever heard of an answer? And they kind of said no. And I said, would you like to have an answer? And one guy was neat enough to say yes. The rest of the guys in the rec room there, proud enough, didn't say a word. But when I said I have an answer, no one left. I said, well, here's what God says about that situation. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. In other words, God is saying, godly love casts out fear. Then I said, now do you know how God can cast out fear through loving you? Nobody had an answer, because the Bible says they're spiritually blind, spiritually dead. And I said, so would you like to hear the answer? So, and again, this one guy nodded. I said, let me give you an illustration to tell you what I'm going to tell you is true, a human illustration that proves this is true, what God can do to eliminate fear. I said, any of you guys watched any of the four Titanic movies? The first one came out in 1958, a documentary. And someone watched all four. I said, here's what's not in the movies. I said, when the Titanic was half underwater, down about here in the water, I said, the Salvation Army band was up on the stern. Now, they would have chairs like either tied or bolted into the deck so the wind couldn't blow them overboard or the waves couldn't wash them overboard. And they're up there. They're not singing. They're just playing hymns, just playing music. But you know what the movies don't show? At the water level, where the Titanic was going down very slowly, you would have had a lot of the crew where they had no life jackets left over and there was no lifeboats left over, you know what they're doing? They're fighting over the banisters, the wooden chairs, the tables in these where the people eat and dance, that kind of thing. Anything wood, they're fighting over this stuff, tearing things apart so they have some buoyancy to grab a hold of when they jump over the side of the ship when the Titanic finally sinks. So that would be like total mayhem. Let's say you had 50 guys there trying to get some wood before you jump. And the Salvation Army, you know, band is watching all this. People testified that those that were in the lifeboats, I remember the night it happened, April, a very rare thing off Greenland, there was no wind that night. The water was smooth, which sound carries perfect a long ways. And they testified the Salvation Army were up there playing, like one song, for example, "Nearer My God to Thee," and didn't miss a note. How do you suppose they did that? Boy, that had the sailors' attention. Facing death, they're going to drown pretty soon. People in front of them trying to fight over some wood, they're not leaving their violins to go get some wood. They just sat there and played, and they never missed a note. And I said, how do you suppose they've done that? And I said, then they told a story about there was a senior citizen in the water, and born again, had a life jacket on, and he came up to a college student who wasn't born again, and he shared the gospel. And would you believe this guy had no interest? So the born again senior citizen man calmly took his life jacket off. This later on, this college student testified, took his life jacket off and gave it to the college student, and just quietly drowned right in front of him. And I said, how do you suppose he did that? And so I had their attention. And so then I got to explain the gospel. I said, Jesus says Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to forgive you and save you. And I went to explain the gospel. And I said, he knows who is sincere, who called upon the Lord and believed in Jesus as their Savior. And if you did, Jesus says, you're now my true child. So he says in John 10:27-28, I'm going to give you eternal life. You're never going to perish spiritually. And no one's going to pluck you out of my hand. If I said it, that settles it. Just believe it. And you're on your way to heaven. And I said, and once you do that, only God could take away the fear of death. And I said, the Salvation Army band and that senior citizen cousin truly so took Christ at his word, they had no fear of death. And so, and then I hand out my Titanic tract to everybody in the rec room. And a little later on, this guy, Harold, got saved. And so again, so what did God use? He used these November gales up in Lake Superior to create some fear, and then have allow these 38 people to die in Hong Kong Harbor, and put it on the TV and have sailors watch this. These guys are so bored on the ships, they watch all the news and all the weather reports, and of course, internet, not much to do. And so they know more stuff than I know what goes on around the world. And so they think about it more. And so God just uses that and puts all kinds of fear into these people's lives. And then they're looking for their haven of rest. And so they really can't find an answer on what the answer is. And so God just uses it. And then the main thing he uses is his word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And so we're seeing people saved because of this. And yet, I know people on my street during these November gales, because most weather goes from west to east. And in November, I got a giant Norwegian red maple. It's a big one. And we have a big sycamore tree in the backyard. And people complain down my street, because our street runs from west to east, that all the neighbors' leaves get blown into my driveway in the front of my house, and I got to rake them. And then some lady goes and has her hair done, and the November gales just blow her hair around and waste her money, she says, and her hair got messed up, and they're complaining. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, is so wanting to save people from the penalty of their sins, he's allowing or causing these November gales to put fear into sailors, and they get broken and humbled and listen to God's word and pray and get saved. So November gales are my best friends. So I just say nothing to them. They're negative, but they're lost and so on. So I end up saying, praise the Lord. He's still saving souls. So you're here this morning and have made this most important decision of stepping out in faith and claiming Jesus as your personal Savior. Don't put it off. You could be going home, get T-boned at an intersection, and I know a couple of people that happened where they got their ribs cracked, and the blood is running into their lungs. They're slowly drowning in their own fluids and waiting for an ambulance because they can hardly breathe, and that can happen. And people have died from being T-boned just in their car. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank thee once again that you and your son Jesus agreed that he should leave the glories of heaven and come down and be named Jesus, meaning, for he shall save his people from their sins. Who is his people? Everybody here and everybody around Ontario and the whole world, his people. And wants to save them from the penalty of their sin and reveal to their blinded brain they're under the wrath of God in their position. And they need to be set free. And here the Lord Jesus, we read, God, that God the Father, that this salvation's all been paid for. It's finished. Everybody's name's written down on this salvation. We just got to believe and accept it. So help anyone here as they're convicted of their sin to just sit in the pew or sit in the car in the parking lot and bow and thank you. Thank you, thank you for paying the penalty for all their past, present, and future sins. And may they just step out in faith and pray and claim you as their personal Savior. Speak to people now in Jesus' name. Amen.